Good evening, everyone. We pray about all of the services that we do here at Redeemer, all the services that we offer up. They're called services because something is being offered. We're offering something up to the Lord, right, on Sundays when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then in services like this, we're attempting to offer something to you, to each other. So we pray about these services, and we pray for all those who come, which means we've been praying for you before we knew that you would be here. And we really do hope that you find grace and help today through the songs, the scriptures, and the prayers. My name is Joe Thorne. I'm the lead pastor, or the preaching pastor, here at Redeemer Fellowship. And so I want to share a few things with you. I'm going to read some passages of scripture, and I'm going to talk to you from the heart. The passage that I'd like to start with is in 2 Corinthians. You can just listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Christmas time. We hear songs, maybe we sing songs about comfort and joy, and it just doesn't always seem to be that close at hand. A few hours ago, I got a call from a dear friend, a good man, a beautiful man, a person I respect and love so much. And he just texted me to let me know that his wife was just diagnosed with cancer today. My sister died a week ago. I'm planning her memorial service for tomorrow. That doesn't make me special or any kind of unique sufferer. It just means that I know that that the holidays, for as fun as they are to some, are just not always that way for everybody else. In fact, life is not always what people call a bed of roses. You know, Christmas is coming up, and my sister loved Christmas. It was her thing. She was what we called the present elf. She was the one who distributed all of the presents from under the tree to all of the various people. And she really didn't care what was going on with everybody else until it got to her presents that she had bought for our kids or somebody else. And everybody had to be quiet, shut up, and pay attention, because I want you to see what happens when they open the presents that Auntie Shell got for the kids. She was a sweet, awesome, weird, and beautiful person. All this to say, she loved Christmas. Not everyone does. And even if they do, not every Christmas is filled with immediate comfort and joy. What I do want you to take away tonight, what I hope you can at least begin to grasp, what I'm beginning to grasp, is that comfort can only be found in the midst of pain. You don't find it anywhere else. Comfort can only be found in pain. And that should be good news, because life is hard. Life is difficult, painful, arduous. Life is dark. It is filled with disappointment on the light end of the spectrum and death on the hard end. It's marked by frailty and failure and corruption and evil, abandonment, loss, and suffering and sin. The sins and the failures of our own doing and those of others. Now, I've been sharing this with people lately. Before my sister passed away, I've been seeing this more and more. The older I get, the more pain I see and experience in the world. The older I get, the more darkness I see in the world. And that makes sense, right? I'm going to see more failure and more loss. I'm going to see more darkness because I'm spending more days on this twisted planet, right? You can't help but see that. The reality is, it means the longer I live, the more I realize I desperately need comfort if I'm going to make it, if we're going to persevere through this stuff. The flip side of this, though, is that the longer I live, and the more disappointment and pain and loss and failure I see, the flip side is that there is also more goodness to be seen. The more days I live, the more goodness is accomplished in the world. the more good God does in the world, the more beauty there is to see. God is at work. I actually believe this. I genuinely believe this. The difference is you have to actually look for it. You don't have to look hard for darkness and discouragement and disappointment, you know, betrayal, loss, failure. You don't have to look hard for that. It's right in our face. Disease is right there. You don't have to look for it. It comes looking for you. But comfort, to find comfort in all of this, we have to look for it. It's a part of the goodness that is in the world. And tonight, I really, honestly, what I want to do, like my heart for people who are hurting, is to help them to begin to see comfort, to begin to find joy. And if I can point you in that direction and help you in that way, then I feel very blessed. And I think there's a problem because a lot of us think like, well, how am I supposed to find comfort in the midst of pain? Even though I said you can't find comfort unless you're in the midst of pain, right? Without pain, you can't find it. So how is it that we actually do it? And I think what we need to do is we need to make a distinction between being comfortable and finding comfort. I think sometimes we think, well, we hear the word comfort. How am I supposed to find comfort, comfort and joy? We think comfortable. And we rightly understand that, like, well, to be comfortable is to have a peaceful contentment in which we have freedom from pain or want. When that's to be comfortable, right? You ask a rich person how they're doing, like, so, like, how rich are you? You ever ask a rich person how rich they are? Try it sometime, it's fun. So how rich are you? And what they'll say is, like, I'm comfortable. It's nice. Most of us wish we could be there too. But that's not what we're talking about, and that's not what the Bible talks about when it uses this word comfort. It's not peaceful contentment because we have freedom from pain or want. To be comforted is to be strengthened. To find comfort is to be supported. To find comfort is to be encouraged or to be helped in our pain and in our suffering. Being made comfortable, this is never guaranteed. There's no guarantee that you will be comfortable in this life, but there is a promise that you can find comfort in this life in the midst of your most difficult circumstances. And we find this hope of comfort most often in people, usually. If you're fortunate enough to have people around you, if you haven't boxed them out yourself, or if you haven't burned those bridges, or if they haven't cast you aside, if you have good people in your life, you oftentimes find comfort in them, because comfort is found, at least in part, from my experience and understanding, comfort is found in being understood. Like somebody understands, they get it, they get what you're going through. You're like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy, right? Comfort is found in being known, because somebody knows you, they get you. They're not misunderstanding. Comfort is found in being loved, right? To be accepted. Comfort is found in being helped. When no one else is willing to, someone else is, you experience comfort. Now, we oftentimes, I have throughout my life found comfort in my darkest hours. I find some comfort in the arts, right? And music is one of those very powerful forms. Music is a gift from God. It's one of those powerful forms of art that God has given to us that does help us. It lifts us out of, or at least above, experientially for a time, of our current circumstances. It's why the blues was invented. The blues exists because suffering is real. And blues is a kind of song that comes from a place of sorrow that leads to a place of comfort. And it's interesting for me because I was, as a kid, I was a very, I was a lot of things. None of them good. Most of them not good. But I was depressed, wicked depressed. Just filled with hatred and anger and self-loathing. And I was troubled in my heart and thought often of suicide. And like a lot of people do, a lot of people struggle with suicidal thoughts. And I'll tell you, one of the things that really helped me was listening to music. In fact, if you read up on this, what I've seen, and this is from testimonials of other people in my own, you know, age and generation, in our darkest, most suicidal hours, songs about suicide were oftentimes very helpful. So I was born in 72, right, which makes me young to some of you and old to others. I was born in 72, but I really grew up in the 80s. And so the music that really impacted me was the music in the 80s. And the songs about suicide in the 80s were not glamorizing suicide. They were simply identifying the shared problem that many of us had. Metallica's Fade to Black is a dark song about suicide, but many people were helped with that song. Megadeth, In My Darkest Hour is another one, or REM, Everybody Hurts, Mad World, Tears for Fears, right? There's all kinds of songs. More recently, younger generations, Blink 182, Adam's song, right? It's a great song. These songs about suicide, generally, it didn't move people to want to hurt themselves. It actually gave them some sort of comfort in that. And this is from their testimonies that I've read in Kerrang! Magazine, Heavy Metal Mania, and all these others. Because, like, wow, somebody else understands me. Somebody gets it. They know. I'm not alone. So we find this hope of comfort in part in the arts, in music. We also see it in Scripture. And I don't know what you believe or where you're at with Jesus and the Bible. And I know it's a complicated, hard book. But I will tell you this, the Bible is the most honest book when it comes to things like suffering, evil, depression, anxiety. The Bible's really honest about it. So many of the major characters in Scripture are honest about their struggle with depression, with doubt, with pain in their life. I'm not going to read a bunch of Scripture here, but I'll start with one. Psalm 56, verse 8. David says it this way, and yes, he is very poetic here, but he says, "You have kept count of my tossings." You know what those are, right? When you're not sleeping, when you're just laying there, listening to podcast after podcast, or whatever you do when you can't sleep. "You have kept count of my tossings and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" David writes at length about his struggle at times with discouragement and sadness or depression of various kinds. Naomi is a major character in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth. When people say to her, "Aren't you Naomi?" she said, don't call me Naomi. Might call me Mara, which means bitterness, because that is my life. My life is bitter and hard and dark. Jesus himself knows pain and sorrow. The shortest verse in the Bible, many of you know, is Jesus wept. John 14:35, Jesus wept. He was crying. He was broken in his humanity because his good friend Lazarus had died. Jesus was in agony in Luke 22, agonizing in his heart over what was about to happen to him, his crucifixion. In fact, even creation, the Bible says the whole of creation, this is in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 20, 21, 22, 23. Romans says that all of creation is yearning, is in agony, waiting for the end when God will finally, in the future, make all things right, which is a big part of the Christian faith. We look forward to the end when God fixes everything. But you may ask, okay, well, what was that supposed to do for me now? I'm glad God's going to make it all right in the end, but like right now, the wicked are prospering, bad people are doing bad things. I've been hurt, robbed, or taken advantage of, or I have hurt, robbed, or taken advantage of, and I don't know what recourse I can do now to make things right. Scripture is honest about there being darkness in the world, evil in the world, evil in us. We are oftentimes broken and confused and hurt. And God offers comfort. God offers comfort, and he offers a comfort in ways that you might be somewhat familiar with. We find comfort in God because he does, in fact, understand us and know us. He is close to us. He loves us, and he helps us. So I want to read a few passages of Scripture. You can just listen. And consider what the Bible says about God and how his knowledge of us, how he knows us, his nearness to us, his love for us and his help for us, how that is the answer for the hope of comfort that you need in the midst of your pain. Psalm 139. This will be the longest paragraph or section that we read, so just stay with me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my laying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The psalmist knows, right? David knows, in the midst of all the darkness, you know who I am. And when we see that God knows us, it means that he doesn't just know who we are. He knows what our breaking points are. He knows what our needs are. He knows what encourages us, what delights us. He knows everything about you, your temptations and your weaknesses. He knows. And he doesn't just know, he is close. He is close. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Right? I have many friends who have been brokenhearted and have been crushed in spirit. You know what that, I mean, that's that description, I mean, we know that is. If you've experienced it, you know, to be crushed in your spirit. You might be physically healthy, but you feel shattered. These are the people God actually draws near to. He is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. Doesn't mean that you don't get to not experience being crushed. It means that there is hope and comfort for you in the midst of that experience. Or consider the love of God. There are so many passages to go to, but maybe the most well-known and popular one is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. In fact, this is really the point, right? The touchstone that God's comfort for us and all of these promises that he knows us, he's close to us, all of it is connected to Jesus. It's all wrapped up in his son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave him to die for us. Romans tells us that God's love for us is seen in that while we were sinners, that means we were undeserving, Christ died for us. To be loved, to know that you are loved, like valued, that someone cherishes you, that someone holds on to you, that someone will sacrifice for you is priceless. And here we're assured in the midst of all these clouds and storms, God knows us, is close to us, and he loves us, and God helps. He helps us, which is one of the ways in which we're comforted. All right, let me just read a couple of verses for you on how God helps us. Isaiah 41. Verse 10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Now, you might think like, well, it doesn't feel like that because I'm being crushed in spirit, but that's when you need to be lifted up. You don't need to be held up when you're running on your own and you're feeling great. You need to be held up. You need to be supported and strengthened when you're weak, when you're suffering. Or Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't even know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. One of the things Christians talk a lot about is how the Holy Spirit is this presence of God with us, right? That he never departs from us. He's always with us. And when we don't even know what to say, when we don't have a word to utter to God because we're too empty or broken, we're silent, and all we can do is groan. God hears and understands, and the Spirit speaks on our behalf to the Father. In Hebrews chapter 2, going back to this idea of all of this ultimately being found in Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 17, it says, therefore he had to be made like his brothers. This is the way of Hebrews explaining that Jesus had to be one of us. The Son of God had to take on human form. He had to become fully human. He had to be like made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The gospel, the good news that we preach, is that God's love for sinners is seen in Jesus. And in Jesus, what we find is a high priest who isn't corrupt, who will not oppress, who only loves and perfectly intercedes. We find a high priest who makes sacrifices to save us and cleanse us from our sins. In fact, we see in Jesus that he is the sacrifice when he died on the cross to take away our sin and to appease God's justice. In Jesus, we have all of these things, and not only does he save us, right, from sin and hell, he actually helps us in our temptation. Our temptations to doubt, to quit, to rage, to destroy. He helps us because he knows what it is to be tempted in the same way that you and I are. All of God's promises, let me say this, all of God's promises, all of them, many promises in the Bible, they are all ultimately made true, made real, and found to be fulfilled in Jesus, all of them. This is why Jesus is so supremely satisfying. Because in Christ, they are all made true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him," in Jesus. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God and for his glory. All this to say, we need to be really honest about the darkness. It's there, and it hurts. And we will sometimes be frustrated, and we will be downcast, sad, depressed. We will sometimes choose to go down destructive paths, some more socially acceptable than others. I understand that. But what I hope we can be honest about is that not only is the world at times a dark and troubling place, not only is our lives sometimes hard and defeating, hopefully we can also be honest about the fact that for as much evil as we see in the world, there is certainly at least as much good. We just have to look for it. There is grace to be found. And we do find it in God and his word, but most clearly we see it in Jesus. You see, Jesus welcomes the weary. Jesus welcomes the failed, the confused. He welcomes all who are willing to come to him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Comfort, right? "Take my yoke upon you." That's his teaching, his ways. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." There are a lot of teachers, pastors, counselors, authors who will lay heavy burdens on you and expect you to simply straighten up, fly right, man up, be a good girl, whatever. Get through it. But Jesus recognizes, you're weary, you're broken, and you need rest. You need comfort. And Jesus says, "I'm the one that can give it to you, the only one that can give you rest for your souls. And it's free. It's free. It's real. And as immensely as you can be comforted, it doesn't mean that you will be comfortable, but it means in the midst of your pain and struggle that you find help and encouragement and strength to endure so that you do not ultimately give up. can trust Jesus because of who he is. I mean, yes, he is the Son of the living God. The book of John calls him the Word. It says he's the Word. He upholds the universe by the word of his own power. These glorious, beautiful statements about Jesus. But when Jesus describes himself, he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm soft toward you, kind, welcoming. He won't beat you up. Jesus wraps his arms around us. When we come to him in faith, however small our faith is, feeble our faith may be. See, I think Christianity gets a bad rap. Sometimes it's because of me. I give it a bad rap sometimes. I'm not the best representative of Jesus. But the Christian faith, what the God has given us in the Bible, what Jesus actually teaches, does not encourage us to pretend that life is great. We're not supposed to ignore the darkness. See, the Christian faith actually shines in the darkness. The darkness isn't going anywhere, guys. The darkness is here to stay until the end. But the gospel shines in the darkness. This faith shines in the darkness. This book shines in the darkness and welcomes all to accept it and to find that encouragement. So my encouragement to you, and I don't pretend that this is easy. Listen, I've been having conversations with people, and I'm no professional counselor. I'm a preacher, right? But I've been having extended conversations with people who are really struggling and in the midst of the darkest times of their life. And I can give them all of these passages of scripture, and I can't make anybody do anything. And I wouldn't for a moment pretend like, oh, well, this is easy to just, okay, run to Jesus. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is simple. It's a direct path that we can take. So my encouragement to you is that you would see the God who loves sinners, that you would see the God who heals the broken, who holds the hurting, and who helps the weak. He is called the God of all comfort for a reason, and he comforts you, and he will comfort you, so that you can then in turn comfort others. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm hurting, Lord, and I know I'm not alone. People are discouraged. They're angry. And sometimes we're sinning in the midst of all of this, and sometimes we're just victims. But Lord, there is a creeping present darkness and danger in our lives that we are foolish to ignore and pretend doesn't exist. But Lord, prevent us from the folly of ignoring your presence. Open our eyes to see your beauty, your glory, your truth, that we might be comforted where we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.